Stability Institute, which tries to promote best practice in research software across the UK. Last year we worked on this project called CATS, the Climate Aware Task Scheduler, that we'd like to talk to you about today. So very simply, the idea behind CATS is to try and time shift when we do our compute to the times when the carbon emissions of producing electricity are at their lowest. We are probably aiming this at smaller to mid-size HPC and HTC systems that are not 100% loaded, and therefore we have that flexibility to time shift. If you've got a super busy system that's always at 100%, then there's not much you can achieve by time shifting your compute. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the very pressing need as to why this is important, but carbon dioxide levels are now getting higher than we can tell they have ever been for the last 800,000 years. Before that, our records are not so clear because we don't have things like ice cores readily available. But it looks like this is very, very much human-caused and because of burning fossil fuels. And this is causing a rather dramatic and alarming increase in temperature. Very worryingly, in 2023, we saw temperatures going dramatically off the scale and with a far bigger jump than we had seen in any prior year. We get to see if that trend is going to repeat last year, but I don't know how many of you have been to Fosden before, but for me, this is the warmest Fosden I've ever been to, and I think this is my fifth one. And more specifically, in activation, we don't want to set the world on fire from doing our computational work, but that work is important, and we would like to do it, but having the most minimal impact we can while we do so. So our plan is, as I said, to time shift our compute to when electricity has the lower carbon intensity. And we focus this very much on the UK because that's where at least most of us were based and where we met to come up with this idea. And the UK has a very, very variable level of carbon intensity in its electricity. Some other countries are not so variable, but we have quite a lot of wind power now and quite a bit of solar, but it's not always windy and it's not always sunny. Carbon intensity can actually vary from, in some regions, as low as 0 grams of carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour to about 400. The average across the whole of the EU in 2022 was about 250. And we have some huge regional variations within the UK. Scotland is normally very green and very low carbon because it's got a lot of wind power, a lot of hydro, not that many people demanding it, not that much industry compared to England. And although it is interconnected into England, those interconnectors are of limited capacity, so all of that electricity can actually be moved to other parts of the country. Conversely, the south of England has a very high population density and is very dependent on gas power still. Does have a bit of solar power because it's the sunniest part of the country, and a little bit of wind, but not so much as Scotland by any means. So we do have this regional connection. We have a lot of international interconnections now. A new one just came online to Denmark. Another new one came online to Norway a couple of years ago, and an additional one to France. We've had another one to France since the 1980s, and there's also interconnected to Belgium, the Netherlands, and Ireland. But again, those represent maybe 30% of typical generation capacity. Unfortunately, in the UK, we also have this great web API called carbonintensity.org.uk that provides us with regionalized forecasts for the next 48 hours with 30-minute time windows. And it has both JSON and XML APIs that will allow us to interrogate this data and very easily get hold of what our regional forecasts are. And it will show us how things are performing both against the forecast and previous measurements. So just to give an example of some of the data we get out of this site, this is an example of a really good day in October last year, where the whole country was green, which I think means under 100 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour. And about half the country is dark green, which means I think under 35. And we can see some of these regional variations. So just comparing two regions here, these are two regions where my employer has offices. So in the North Wales and Merseyside region, which is this one here, we had only grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour. In the south of England, we had 92, which still for the south of England is very low. But a few days later, the situation had changed dramatically, and we now have 289 grams in the south and 235 in North Wales. So if we could have made sure our compute jobs ran on the 6th instead of the 9th, we could have reduced the amount of carbon being put into the atmosphere to run those jobs quite considerably. So just thinking about how much this might actually save us, imagine we have a fictional HPC or part of an HPC which has 64 core AMD EPYC CPUs. There's 10 nodes, so 1,280 cores in total. And we reckon each one of those will use about 255 watts fully loaded, or 37.5 idle. So if we can bring that node down from full to idle, assuming we don't turn it off or suspend it or anything clever like that, then we're looking at around a 217 watt per CPU saving. If we can time shift from when the grid would be at 200 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour to 50, that's 150 saving. If we had a 12-hour job that used all those 280 cores, that's around 50 kilowatt hours, which equates to about 7.5 kilograms of carbon dioxide, which is the same as driving a car 50 kilometers. So how many of us might consider not driving to work or not driving a 50-kilometer route because it might reduce the environmental impact? How many of our employers might also have a policy that says you shouldn't drive those kind of distances, you should take public transport? Well, why shouldn't we have the same policies for compute? If we can achieve similar savings, we should be doing that for our compute systems as well as for our travel. And just to think about this across the wider world, there was a paper published in, I think, 2021, looking at the potential savings of doing time shifting for AI-based jobs in cloud providers, just showing us the different levels of savings that could be achieved in different regions. So as you see, these vary quite dramatically from region to region, normally depending on how much renewable energy is available in that region, and how bad the alternative is when they are not using renewable energy as well. Now, lots of people might suggest, well, the grid is going to go net zero soon anyway. Is it really important to do this? And the UK has put out a set of future scenarios about how they might achieve their net zero transition. One of those scenarios, though, is where we don't actually achieve it. And it's not quite clear whether we're actually on that pathway or one of the more optimistic ones at the moment. But even if we do achieve this, and their target is by 2035, we should actually be near net zero, that's still another 11 years of us putting carbon dioxide into the atmosphere when we use electricity, when we could reduce that impact now if we do something with time shifting. So let's do something now instead of waiting 11 years for someone else to solve the problem and possibly not solve the problem in that time. There is also a financial incentive to do this. There are starting to be variable rate electricity tariffs that roughly reflect the carbon intensity, because wind and solar power don't have any fuel costs, so they're much cheaper to offer. And if you've got your own electricity production, like rooftop solar or your own wind farm, then there's also a saving to use that power, and it's normally better to use it than to export it and be paid normally quite poor rates for that export. So I'm now going to hand over to Abhishek, who will talk more specifically about CATS and what it does.
Checking, okay, seems to be working. Thanks, Colin. I'll be introducing the Climate Era Task Scheduler. And CATS figures out the best time to start your HPC job, or really a job that you want to run in a laptop. Users need to submit runtime, so of course they need to have some idea of how long the job will take, and a postcode. This graph shows, for example, that if you schedule your job to the optimal time, you can save your carbon footprint by 70%. Right now it's like a proof of concept. We haven't released version one yet. It was built in one day at these SSI's collaboration workshops. It's kind of a hackathon that we have every year. It won the first prize. What it is a Python script, and it targets the at scheduler. So the at scheduler on Linux and BSDs schedules the starting time of a job. So if you want a thing to start at 6 in the morning, it'll say at 0600, and it will start the job then. So that's a very easy, simple way to integrate CATS into the scheduling system. So that's what we started with. So the limitation is, of course, that if your HPC is running at full load all the time, then it doesn't matter what you shift around, because you know, it'll always be 100%. So it's really meant more for computing systems that are not on all the time. So time shifting will actually make a difference. Of course, you'll need to know how long the job will take. Without that, you know, this doesn't work at the moment. If it's an HPC, then you know, other users might be trying to run at the same moment. So how do you do that sort of resource allocation? Currently, it only works in the UK because we're using the Carbon Intensity UK API. Of course, we open to pull requests for other APIs. If other countries have energy data, energy forecasting data, so far we have not found any free-to-use APIs. So if you know, please let us know. And of course, this is not the only thing you should do. You know, you can use cooling, or you know, there's a lot of carbon, embodied carbon, in the manufacturing cost of the server that things are running on. So that's probably why you have HPC refreshes, you know, because newer servers are much more efficient. So there are a lot of considerations, but you know, in terms of what you as a user can do, I think this is a good place to start. So the way to use CATS is, you know, it's a Python script, so you run it as a module, like give it a job duration, give it a postcode. And the postcode is a proxy for the location, and using this, it fetches data from the Carbon Intensity API, and it calculates the optimal starting time for your job. We return data in a format that can be passed to ATT, and it also gives additional data in JSON. So what the other feature of CATS is that it will try to inform the user about the carbon savings that take place when they're using, when they're offsetting the time. So we do some estimates on how much carbon would be saved by using some, you have to specify a configuration using like what kind of CPU or GPU you have, the kind of power use efficiency and thermal design power. And using that, we have a simple formula that will calculate the amount of carbon that you would have saved by running it in this time that CATS wants you to run it rather than well, right now. So this is a demo of CATS running. So we specify a duration of 60 minutes. And this is RT1, which is Reading. And it gives a time of on 16th May 11:30, and it also shows you the amount of carbon saved. And that schedules, this is LS, but you can run what you want as long as it takes around 60 minutes. Okay, that's it. So if you have any questions, please email us or put up an issue in our GitHub. And I skipped the slide. So we have next steps. So what we're doing is we are going to release version 1 this month. We're cleaning the command line options. So right now we only support ATT, but we also want to support SBatch, which is the Slurm command scheduler similar to ATT. And so we'll clean up the command line options and we'll release a version. But of course, going forward, we want to integrate with Slurm, which is the main scheduler for HPCs. And the simplest method, of course, is SBatch to offset the start time. The other option is green queues, where you have queues that don't run 100%, because again, with running 100%, you don't get the benefits of CATS. So we have green queues which don't run 100%. And also integrating carbon accounting. So Slurm has a plugin that allows you to look at the total power used in your job. So a way to integrate carbon accounting into that would be great. But that would require a rewrite in C, because Slurm plugins are in C. And we have got funding from the Software Sustainability Institute for a few months of developer time. So we're looking forward to making great progress and have something more polished soon. And yeah. And now, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Colin and Abhishek. We have time for some questions.
Yes. Thank you for your last presentation, but my question is, how often clusters are not load on 100%?
Yes, I mean, that's a very good question. So I think we need to think about how these things will work moving forward. So we are talking with HPCs, and I think this is more a proof of concept and prototype to look at how these carbon footprints might be achieved. Obviously, if you do keep things 100% on the time, then there is no point. But I think if we do move to a future where we don't move to a net zero grid soon, then we might see funders asking for carbon budgets or government putting carbon budgets, just like, you know, your financial budget, and then you'd want to see this. So it's more like laying the groundwork for what might come next and not for the current generation of HPCs. Yeah.
Any more questions? Sorry, I wasn't looking over here.
Thank you very much. Couldn't you use also energy prices, like energy stock prices, for the forecasting, as they usually, at least in Germany, are lower when there's more renew-